Should have. All right, sure. Is it January 11th?
Yes, it is. I'm a Lions fan, so draft day. That's all. Lions all downhill from there. It's the one day we're always on.
Yeah, for sure. It's just that, you know, draft day is not supposed to be a perpetual holiday in the NFL. It's supposed to be an occasional.
It's sort of like our Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Good morning. It is a little bit after 9 a.m. on January 11th, 2010. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission, a meeting for the purposes of a work session to discuss procedures and other things in case number PU0932, which is Dakota Resource Council et al. Complaints versus GTLE Dakota Plant 1 LLC. This is Kevin Kramer along with Tony Clark and Brian Kalk and Staff General Counsel Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco and Advisor Jim Deutsch, who is the Director of our Reclamation Division. Any opening comments from anyone else? If not, okay. Well, no, I think given that it's a work session, that, you know, we'll just leave it at that. We have a number of people. Oh, okay, sure. We have a number of folks in the hearing room listening in, and I guess folks listening in on the phone. Anybody that will participate, however? Right, okay. Sure, all right. Maybe whoever's on the phone, if you could just identify yourself since we're not looking at you and we know you're there.
Hi, this is Paul Blackburn. I'm a counsel for BRC, Neil, Laura, Tangan, Myra, Nancy, Ebert, Frank, Lucy, Hurt, other complainants.
Thank you, Paul. With that, Jim has provided, through Alana, a very nice factual summary, which was helpful, to say the least, for me. And then Alana also attached an updated procedure memo and a list of all of the filings, which is also helpful as we sort of try to sort through our options, the options that are in front of us. Ilana, go ahead.
Yes, this is Ilana. I have a minor correction.
Okay.
And I really should have updated this one more step and put in right down there questions before the commission. The first bullet, you can write this in. Decide what you think the relevant law means. That's within your discretion. That's what Jim did when he wrote the letter. And that's question one, because then everything else applies to that.
Say that one more time.
Decide what you, as a commission, think the relevant law means. Like, what is the interpretation of law that you subscribe to? It's not a factual question. It's an interpretation of law question.
Pretty important question to answer.
It's a very important question, which is why it's sort of like you get lost in this forest.
Sure.
It is question one, because then when you go to the motion to dismiss or the summary judgment, that's what you're measuring. Decided it was a relevant issue of fact or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that should have been there, and I just said to Jim, that's the first question I'm going to ask you, Jim. What is the law that we're trying to interpret here? The other thing I wanted to bring up, which Paul Blackburn was nice enough to remind me of on Friday, and that is we did discuss the possibility of oral argument.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me to talk to the parties, and GTLE said they had no problem with oral argument, and DRC reminded me that they asked for oral argument, and it was in their motion, their response to the motion to dismiss. So there is a pending request, formal request for oral argument that you'll want to give some guidance on to in the process of this work session.
Okay, thank you, Alana. I'm just going to make that note. Hold on here. Okay. Well, in terms of proceeding, I think we've all read pretty thoroughly the pleadings and the files. Maybe unless one of the commissioners wants to say something, I think it's worth asking this question: What does the relevant law mean? And Jim, maybe you're the person to try and clarify that for us, or at least from your perspective.
The key issue here, and I guess the way I look at it, is in the definition of surface coal mining operations, and that's under our law, under NDCC 38-14.1-02, subsection 33. It's a definition of surface coal mining operations. And it's right in the first sentence, activities affecting the surface of lands in connection with a surface coal mine. Then it goes on and gives other activities, whatever. But I think the key matter here is what's in connection with a surface coal mine.
Sure.
And in OSM preamble discussion on coal preparation plant rules, they go in and discuss this issue in quite a bit of depth, and going back to the memo I put together, this was in the fall of 2008, I quoted different parts from that preamble discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It gives some pretty good guidance on what that is. And basically, it comes down to that anybody operating a surface coal mine operator that controls a coal preparation plant would probably be subject to the permitting and reclamation standards.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a different party and it's not in connection with a particular mine or mines, then in that instance, that facility would not have.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we've pretty consistently restated that very point. I mean, pretty much every time this topic's been discussed, that is the relevant law, and it means what it says.
Situation when, for example, a preparation plant might be built first, might operate on its own standalone, and then at some time in the future, something comes along that pulls it into that. Would it be handled similar to any other facility that the commission cites, that maybe it's a wind farm that it 40 megawatts isn't cited, then they decide to add 40 more and we cite the whole thing? I mean, how does that work if something's
trips the jurisdictional threshold
something
somehow
at some other point in the future?
I'm not aware of any specific instances where that's happened, but that certainly would be a possibility.
Excuse me, this is Paul Blackburn. Just so you know, I don't believe that Jim's mic is on or something's wrong with it. I can't hardly
hear. Thank you, Paul. We'll get it a lot closer to him, maybe. Just try talking real closely into it, Jim, and see if that helps. Paul, let us know if you hear him better now. Yeah, it might have a little quirk in it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm not aware of any specific instances where that has happened.
Okay, hold on one second. Paul, could you hear that better?
A little bit, only because he was louder, but I think it's picking it up through the...
You're probably right. It's picking up through another microphone. Okay. Let's try the other one.
Can you hear me now?
Perfect, thanks.
Perfect.
Set that one aside, because I think we've had problems with that in the past.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim. Start over again with the answer to that question. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. Okay. I just said I'm not aware of any specific instances where a coal preparation plant has been built and not regulated where later on it was. I guess For the most part, these coal preparation plants are more common in the eastern United States, where they actually have facilities to wash the coal before it's sold, where, of course, that's not done here. So,
sure. Okay.
Lana, do you have any thoughts on that?
I have a question. My thoughts are a question for Jim. The control circumstance, as I see it, and I need to know if this is correct, if you have a mine that needs a permit and the ownership and control of that mine extends to a preparation plant, then you need to have that mine permit big enough to cover the mine and the preparation plant. Is that how that language reads? You know, like the mine ownership has some controlling relationship to this preparation plant that you then kind of absorb and have to have the permit for both?
Now, is your question premised with the fact that the plant's built?
I wasn't. Okay, either way. Okay. Either way, I was just trying to understand.
There is a preparation plant regardless of
whether. Well, and I think that was Commissioner Clark's question. Like, you have a preparation plant that maybe eventually ends up with
right,
a mine.
It's operating on a merchant basis.
Right. And I guess the question could be both ways. Then that mine permit has to be big enough to cover both. Is that what this boils down to?
That'd be correct.
Give Jim the mic.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Forgot.
Yeah. I believe in some instances in the eastern part of the country, you have companies that maybe operate several smaller mines in an area. Then they have one coal preparation plant where they haul that coal to and then do the cleaning and then sell it from there. And I think in those situations, again, to the best of my knowledge, we don't deal with them directly, but to my knowledge, that those are the ones that are targeted for permitting and subjecting the standards, the same as the mine, that they're subject to the same standards as the coal mine itself. Mm.
Well, I guess I'll throw my two cents in here. Is that we're playing a lot of the what if questions right now, which is a good thought process. But it goes back to the basics. What I'm trying to sort through is, I believe the staff recommendation before was correct. So how do we get through the point of, should the complaint be dismissed? If we believe the relevant law, we've interpreted, the staff has interpreted it properly, then by dismissing it, does that support that, or does that just say, okay, they don't have standing? Because the word that you put down here with absolutely, Ilana, that word kind of trips me a little bit, because nothing is absolutely anything when I talk about legal language. Well, should the complaint be dismissed? You talk about down a ways about the end of it, when it's absolutely clear the claimant cannot prove any facts entitle him to relief. So that's the part where I believe that staff has made the right choice. I'm prepared to support that, but trying to walk through the right case, because when you say absolutely and dismissing it, maybe dismissing it's not the right thing. Then do we take it to the next trip? That's where I'm at.
I think that the absolutely is probably something I lifted from some court decision, sure, cautioning a decision maker that that is the only time you dismiss, is when you are absolutely sure there's no question. I needed to bring up one thing, though. Jim's original analysis saying that this plant didn't need a permit was based on a situation where there was a pending mining,
yes,
app.
Yes.
Okay? The facts have changed slightly, so you might want to ask Jim his opinion under the changed facts.
Well, it's a good point, Alon. I guess we should. We'll ask him that now so he can clarify it. I mean, in my mind, the facts that have changed
make it even less likely.
Right, make it less likely. But, Jim, why don't you answer that question?
Yeah, that is the case. With there being, at this point, there's no mine permit application for there. There's no mine. Probably the closest mine is 100 miles or close, right, to 100 miles from this facility. So in this case, there, it makes that decision even more
valid
in my opinion. So,
Ilana, does the fact that there once was a mine permit create that enough doubt that something that we need to move forward, or do we just ignore that?
I don't think so. I think you can ignore it. I don't think that DRC is, I mean, they are drawing connections to some extent in the pleadings and the argument.
Sure.
But I don't, in my opinion, I don't think that's relevant. But it's important to have these points kind of gelled when you are trying to decide if there is an issue, a genuine issue of fact. That's what we're trying to get at here in making this decision at this stage. I think that the facts and the most recent filing from the parties, specifically the GTLE, the most recent filing, which was all about the protective order,
right,
but did sort of go down in simple steps. What's the point, and is there, in their mind, an issue, a genuine issue of material fact? I mean, that would be a good thing to review, I think, to get this sort of boiled down to what is the question before you and whether the factual, whether it's the pleadings or the additional facts, raise a genuine issue of fact.
Jim, is it your, I mean, do you, is it your opinion, or can you articulate a strong argument for us as to why we would dismiss, or would you, what would be your preference, if that's fair?
Well, you know, they're going to, reading through
Lana's three memo. Of us have to sort through this, obviously, yeah, and come up with their own conclusion, but I'm just asking for your opinion.
Yeah. You know, particularly now that there's no mine in the vicinity here, to me, I think dismissing would be appropriate in this case. You know, with there being no mine, no application for a permit to mine, even if there was an application filed tomorrow, that before that would be approved, you're probably looking at least a year. This facility is in the final stages of construction, and I think seeing evidence that they are planning to process coal from, at least initially, I think some coal is being shipped in from New Zealand and other mines, so it's a situation that this facility is going to be operating without any mine in that area. And,
I tend to agree. I mean, although I'm interested if anyone else sees anything that's additional that we want to bring into that. And I've struggled to do that. But what would be the additional potential information that we might want to avail ourselves of?
I don't know that I recommend any additional. I did ask Jim on Friday, and I said I'd be asking him today, because I went back and, of course, for the 10th time, read the complaint and answer.
Mm-hmm.
And this motion to dismiss has to be decided on the complaint and the if you're going to decide a motion to if you're going to grant, not decide, because
right,
it has to be on the complaint and the answer, period.
Right.
And so I said to Jim, the allegations in there, that I was going to ask him about, and there could be others, but about the relationship, the
yes,
various relationships between the companies. If looking at those allegations, assuming they're true, because that's the other thing that you have to do in this type of situation, would that change his recommendation? So I think he probably did that Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Restate some of those things that, if they're probably true, what they are.
Well, I have to look up the complaint. Give me a minute.
Sure.
And I'm just pulling these out in no particular order. GNPD, which was the
right,
permit applicant, right?
Mine. Right.
For the mine, when there was a mine. Its owners or agents have held or hold an interest in the land upon which the preparation plant is being built and have held a management and or financial interest in respondent and or the plant. And these may have been denied, but the point is you need to look at it as if they're true.
Right.
Okay. GNPD stated that its intent in withdrawing the application was to assist respondent in its defense of the instant matter. Respondent and GNPD have cooperated and are continuing to cooperate in the development of the plant and a minor mine of some other size. So there's several of those peppered through the complaint. I mean, so that was my question.
Okay, so the basic issue being about the relationship between
yeah.
entities. Okay, so Jim, if all of those things were presumed true, does it change your opinion or your recommendation? And why or why not?
And this it doesn't mainly because there is no mine there, you know, and the other thing is that I think it's been clearly stated in both the complaint and GTLE's response and even in the determination, where they are bringing in coal from a variety of sources. It's not just North Dakota lignite. It's they're going to be bringing in coal from other parts of the United States and from other parts of the world. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the key issues. It's not tied to a specific mine or mines. It's going to be could be many different mines where they receive coal. So.
Okay. Alana.
I just wanted to say, for purposes of your thought process here, that's an example now of. Well, you may or may not agree with Jim, but let's assume that you do agree with Jim. An example of a factual dispute, but not necessarily relevant or
mm-hmm.
material to
sure.
the decision-making,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yep. Yeah, I understand. What's the most defensible position between, I mean, is this... Between dismissal, and then maybe this isn't fair. I don't say between dismissal, summary judgment, or continuing with some sort of nothing. Okay.
You know, as I said before, at this point, I think that I think dismissing at this point. That's kind of where I'm sitting at right now. The question I had is that one word absolutely? Because there is, you know, how much does that weigh into that? That's the only thing where I'm at right now. Otherwise, I think that there's.
Ilana, is the word absolutely in that paragraph?
It relates to relevant facts.
Yeah.
Yep,
if you're absolutely comfortable with the facts, and that any other evolution. Of the facts would not change the result. I mean, that's kind of why I asked Jim that question, okay? But do not forget that there is this pending request for oral argument
right.
on this motion to dismiss, too, okay? I mean, I think the parties are hearing your thoughts and where you're coming from, but you will want to decide if you're going to grant oral argument before you give us marching orders.
Well, let me restate my other... Yeah, okay. All right. Is there a... I'm sensing, and just so you know, I mean, I think Jim just articulated exactly why dismissal is appropriate. But the question is, do either of my colleagues feel that we ought to have oral arguments, or does it serve any purpose in your mind for you in terms of sorting through facts or more information or the meaning of the law, yeah?
I have to say that I don't think it does. I mean, once you get to the... what's relevant
mm-hmm.
for us to look at, I don't know that it's that complex an issue personally. And I don't have a lot of questions or gray areas out there. But if others do, I'm certainly open to it. I'm not going to oppose it if somebody really
yeah.
feels the need to have
I
it.
See the need to hear
more. All right. I don't disagree.
But it really does... boil down to the fact that there's no mine.
There's no mine there.
There's no application there.
And if a year or two from now there's a mine application, or a week from now there's a mine application, then we permit. Then we take that, you know, take everything under consideration in permitting the mine. Okay? Is that clear enough for everybody? All right. If there's nothing else, we'll close the work session. Thank you.